Okay, good evening, everyone. Nice to sit with you tonight. Thank you for showing up. Can you hear me? We're getting some feedback that some of you are not hearing us very well. Could you raise your hand if you're not hearing us very well? All right, I'm going to assume that you can hear me. Okay, tonight we're going to continue studying the nature of the mind. And this lesson is really connected to the last two of our series that we've been talking about for months, really, and how to sustain our practice. And so we're at the last two, studying the nature of the mind and get to know your mind states. So I want to start with a quote from a movie, Steel Magnolias. It's from one of the characters, Wesser, who was played by Shirley MacLaine. And this movie had lots of quotes on Google, but this one's my favorite one. It's an old movie. She says, "I'm not crazy. I've just been in a very bad mood for 40 years." Now, is that not true? Is that not true? But the good thing was that she was recognizing her moods. That's emotional intelligence. So it's amazing what can happen. It's amazing what opens to us when we can see clearly what's actually happening. So neuroscience tells us that our past reactions are engraved in our mind and our synapses, and that sends messages from one neuron to the other. And so what that does is it's more likely to send the same message in the future. So that's what we're dealing with. And so it can be shocking to realize how impersonal and habitual our responses are. I'd have to say reactions, because they're not responses necessarily. Hello over there. So glad y'all could be here. I love reminders. But gradually, we realize that mindfulness gives us the option to choose a healthier response. I would have never thought that that was possible. For one thing, I'm so reactive, so impulsive. But the Buddha reminds us that our consciousness is colored by the states that visit it. And these are the mind states. I think if we ask anyone on the street, "What's your mind state at this moment?" they think we're crazy. Because I don't think that is something that we naturally reflect on. And yet it has a huge impact on our lives. And in Western culture, we are taught that the way to achieve happiness is to just change where we are. Just move. Change our external environment to fit our wishes from the internal. But we know that this strategy doesn't work for us. Why? Well, there's in every life, all of us experience pleasure and pain, gain and loss, praise and blame, fame and disrepute. So they keep showing up. No matter how hard we struggle to have only the pleasure and the gains and the praise and the fame, it just flat doesn't work that way. And when we work against nature, the way of things, then that's where our suffering arises. So Buddhist psychology offers a different approach to happiness, as you well know, teaching us to look at our states of consciousness. We do have mind states. I don't think I've realized or reflected on my mind states until I heard the Buddhist teachings. But it teaches us in a way where we can reside in this body and mind by experiencing directly bodily feelings. And that's from where we can live our lives with a whole lot less suffering. But again, we have to train ourselves to do that. But the strategy is far more crucial than trying to live from our outer circumstances. More than anything else, life is created by the particular states of mind with which we meet it. What are they? Oh my, what are they? And we want to work with the mental factors because they are subject to training. And because we can shift, that's encouraging if we know how, and that's what is so useful and so wonderful about the teachings, because we can sit like hens all we want to and feel the stillness and the quiet, and it's quite delectable. But we're missing all the wonderful things of life. So the Buddha divided these states into healthy and unhealthy factors. And the unhealthy factors, you guess, is right: greed, hatred, and delusion. And from these roots that arise in all of us, what can happen as a result if we're not paying attention? Because nothing's wrong with them. We don't want to get confused that anything's wrong with them when they arise in any one of us. But this is what can happen: envy, rigidity, anxiety, dullness, self-centeredness, doubt, agitation, misperception. I mean, that's quite a lot. And we know we can recognize that in ourselves, all of those things that come up as a result of just being a human being. But again, it's what we do with them. It's how we live with them. It's how we relate to them. And if we don't know them, as we will know because we practice RAIN, recognize, allow, and investigate, if we don't know these dates, then we're stuck in the suffering. We're stuck in to our conditioning and our habits that have caused us a lot of misery. So reigning on these mind states is just as important as reigning on every other aspect that we're looking at closely that we can have such a strong impact on, like our thoughts, like all the emotional garbage that comes up. And so they can create a sickness. It can make us unhealthy. It can make us sick. And grasping and greed become an addiction. It becomes our way of living. Worry becomes paranoia. Ooh, that doesn't feel good. Shamelessness becomes sociopathy. Did I say that word right? So what can come next? Well, that's what we're seeing in the world as a result of the lack of wisdom, with the delusion within and on this planet. How about war? How about violence? Racism? Exploitation, injustice. From where do those things arise? They arise from mind states and not understanding how to relate to them. We take them as the gospel. And so we're living our lives through these moods, through these mind states that set up moods. If we're not conscious, it's through our moods that we live our whole day, where we interact with people we love the most, and when we try to live our lives. And thank goodness that we do have healthy factors. And you know what those would be aligned with: compassion, generosity, and wisdom. So what happens when these mind states are around? Clarity that's connected to wisdom, composure, insight, joy, adaptability, confidence, discretion, balance. All of that grows from mindful attention. Now, that's saying a lot. And that's why it's important that we see for ourselves, is this true? And what is so compelling about this practice, and what can sustain this practice, is doing it and seeing for ourselves, is it true? Is it true? Again, there's a way to practice. If you say you practice and you make up your own rules, you're not practicing. Because these teachings are tried and true. And so that first jump of faith is important. And to stay with it is important, because then we begin to see for ourselves. And the division of mental qualities into healthy and unhealthy states help us to see our happiness along with where we're suffering. It's great information. And so it describes important psychological truth. When we foster healthy states, unhealthy ones appear. Now, how do we foster the healthy? By noticing the unhealthy. But you want to notice the healthy thoughts too, of course. But what we're working with that has strong impact on us are these unhealthy thoughts. And when we foster healthy states, unhealthy ones disappear. So we're training in mindfulness. As we talked about last week, there's that sacred pause that naturally arises, and we can inquire. That's powerful. I can't say that enough. How powerful that is. What is my attitude of mind right now? I've told you how Randy throughout the years would ask me periodically just that question. And boy, after I got over being pissed off at him for years probably, then there was a time where, wow, there's a shift that came quickly. I was free. What was I free from? I was free from that mind state. Mind state could have just been there and may not go away, but it's not in control. It is not in control. And we won't act through it, but we will be with it. And so the part of that other part of that question is, can I accept this too? And I think really that's one of our hardest things, is to be able to accept those things in our lives that we've always been afraid of or ashamed of or not wanting them to be there. So Lama Yeshe says to become your own psychologist. All you have to do is examine your own mind every day. That's not asking too much. And we can do it little at a time. That's why it's called a practice. And he says, you already examine material things every day. He says you open up the refrigerator on a daily basis to see what's in the refrigerator. Why not check our state of mind? So we consider what the Buddha said would help us investigate how we're living our lives. And so he teaches us. And the Buddha spoke in the Eightfold Path about right effort. And right effort is just this kind of energy that we can apply to our daily lives. What can we do to prevent the arising of unwholesome state, even those that have not yet risen? Risen? Now that's frightening, because we have some of them stuck. We know that. So in the suttas, the most pragmatic description is the mind is free from the root defilements of greed, hatred, and delusion. Just three things that covers a whole lifetime. I mean, we could go under what is greed, but we know it because we've talked about it a whole time. So Why not ask that question? Where's the greed, hatred, and delusion throughout the day? And when it comes up, can we honor it? Because now we're not trying to ignore it. We're trying to bring it in. We're trying to allow that part of our lives to live. It wants to live. It wants to live. Life has a life of its own. So we want to just begin to look at our wholesome mind states and our unwholesome. Both of them is important. It's important that we recognize our wholesome mind states along with the unwholesome. Not in a judgmental way, but in a friendly, open way where we say, okay, I want to see you. I want to know you. And so I'll end with a quote from Jill Taylor. She's a brain scientist. She said, the natural lifespan of an emotion, the average time it takes for it to move through the nervous system and body is about a minute and a half. Is that true? That's your job. Is that true? And paying attention, we can notice that, because usually we're not paying attention. We don't understand the true nature of emotions. So after that, she says, we need thoughts to keep the emotion rolling. And we just keep adding and adding and adding. But mindfulness of the mind enables us to not rely on conditioning, but to pause and to make a choice. And it's not a reactive, but it's responsive. So training in mindfulness, we learn to be aware of our own mental states without them grabbing hold of us and hanging out with us keeping it going for longer than necessary. And so with that, I'm going to stop. And thank you for being good listeners. And we'll open it up to you, and let's talk about our mind states.